Hello again, Gooners. Oh, that sounds so lame. Where's my remix? Where's my remix? Remix. Terrible remix. Right, I need a bit of, what's this, flanger. I'm just getting crazy here. All right, let's have this. Let's have this. Filter. Okay, right, we got Alex. Alex is back. I bet you've all been waiting for that. Yeah, so it's good to have you back, Alex. I was on my own some for, well, a couple of weeks. But I want to say thanks to all the callers out there that did call in. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Wasn't necessarily expecting that. And we weren't necessarily expecting Arsenal to start winning games and getting points on the ball.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure what I'm more surprised about, that we've got callers
yeah.
or that Arsenal won. You know, both seem incredibly unlikely a few weeks ago, didn't they?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? It's that, it's that result against Chelsea, we were all, you know, I remember talking to you before the game, you know, neither of us were looking forward to it. We could see us getting spanked. And it was almost like William and Luis being sort of ill.
Oh, yeah.
Was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I read on The Grove that suppose they thought we were going to lose, and they went to Edu and they did like a piece trying to sort of get in the sack. They're trying to get rid of him. But anyway, so he plays the kids and, oh, what a performance. You know, it's so exciting to see, you know, Arsenal go at teams. And I think Arsenal play well. We've said this before. Arsenal play well when they press. They make teams make, you know, we beat Liverpool last year. Yeah, you know, we beat teams when we press them. We make them make mistakes. And to do that press, you need quite a high intensity. You need a high level of fitness. And I didn't think that we were doing that, yeah, in the last few games. But against Chelsea, you know, especially Martinelli and Smith Rowe and Smith Rowe, they were everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the aggressiveness off the ball was fantastic. And I also thought the other big change that sort of really helped was how direct. And if you look at the stats, you know, the amount of direct passes that we were playing, the amount of forward passes that we were playing.
Yeah.
Was much, much more. Our possession stats were actually less. You know, our possession accuracy was less because we were playing more risky balls. We were playing more forward balls. We weren't doing that crab sort of sideways passing. And I think having an actual 10 in that position is a part of the reason. Yeah, Emil Smith Rowe was able to get into the pockets of space, and he was everywhere. Yeah, he was everywhere. You watch the highlights, he was absolutely everywhere. Yeah, and he links up. He makes fantastic link-ups. You obviously Saka, you know, you could see that for the West Brom goal, but yeah, with Saka, he knows really well because they played together at Hale End. But you know, with Martinelli, you know, with Lacazette, he's making these links, these connections with these players, and it's obviously, you know, paying dividends. And so, you know, to beat Chelsea as convincingly as we did, even with our little sort of shaky bit at the end where
Barry,
and I think that's just tired legs. Like, we have to remember Barry hasn't played much.
Yeah, he did okay generally, but did you think he was going to get a red card? Not for that, but I just went, this guy, because he got a yellow, didn't he, in the first half, and I thought, Murray, I liked the way he played, but I really thought he'll end up getting sent off. Did you have that feeling, or was it just me? I just want to say a big shout out. Igun has entered the live studio. Thank you for joining us and giving us a heart. Do appreciate that. And a medal as well. I don't know. We can't wear it. It's a virtual medal, but thank you anyway. But yeah, go on. What are you going to say about Murray?
I thought he was all right. I think, you know, Chelsea, they didn't sort of really offer much until the last, you know, once we scored that third, we predictably sat back. I think that's when Chelsea really sort of attacked us. But by then, the game was sort of almost over. And it was up to Arsenal to not lose it, really. And, you know, we did our best to try. And obviously, you know, if Leno hadn't saved the penalty, then, you know, it might have been a bit different. But I think, you know, you earn your own luck. And I think, you know, we were due a bit of good fortune. And I think that possibly was it. And so, you know, and then we go to Brighton, and it was a completely different game with Brighton. You know, Brighton, you know, they sat back, and it was up to Arsenal to sort of break them down. I don't think, you know, certainly in the first half against Brighton, Arsenal didn't play very well. They struggle to break them down. I think that is a problem that Arsenal have, isn't it? You're struggling to break these teams down. But, you know, we got the goal. We had a nice 20-minute spell where we got the goal, and then we, you know, we kept a clean sheet. And I think, you know, Mari and Holding, you know, they dealt with everything reasonably well. And then to go to West Brom, you know, I wasn't looking forward to West Brom. You know,
yeah, so yeah.
Brighton as well have been a bit of a bogey team for Arsenal. They seem to have had our number.
Yeah, really.
The last couple of years, you know. And so then to go to West Brom, you know, you read about, you know, when clubs get a new manager, there's always that sort of almost like a dead cat bounce. Where, you know, players perform because they're trying to get their spot. And obviously Fat Sam, you know, we all know the history with Fat Sam. And so I managed to stay up and watch because it was 4 o'clock in the morning my time. So I woke up and I watched it. And some of the football that Arsenal were playing was just fantastic. Like they really looked like the handle breaks well and truly off. Again, direct. And West Brom just weren't in the races. And I think what helped Arsenal was, you know, because we've got this 10 now with Emil Smith Rowe.
Yeah, it looks something else.
He's afforded a bit more space. So you give Xhaka a bit of space, he's able to ping the balls because he is a good passer. Forget all of his other failings. He is a good passer. And by having that 10, it doesn't allow Xhaka a bit more space. And I thought I have to say a bit of credit to Ceballos as well. Like his forward passing, you know, it has been a bit more direct. And certainly, so that's been sort of a pleasing thing. So against West Brom, some of the football that was playing, you know, and it really is, you know, that front three, or those three attacking players of Martinelli, Emil Smith Rowe, and Xhaka. You know, I think putting Xhaka on the left, it balances the team a bit more.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Bellingham, I think, has played better. Having Xhaka on the left. On the right, sorry, because I think Xhaka helps out defensively. I don't think Willian helps out particularly defensively.
Yeah.
And I think Bellerin, you know, playing as a fullback, you need your winger to help you out occasionally, even if it's just to stand in that space, you know, if you need that. And I think Xhaka does that because he's played at fullback, so he knows what it's like. You know, he knows what the job entails, sort of thing. And I think, yeah, we just look balanced, and it's fantastic to see Emil Smith Rowe. You know, especially for me, you know, they talked about possibly sending him out on loan and everything else, but he looks like he should be playing for the first team every week. And I think now Arsenal have the challenge of making sure we can keep him fit and not tire him out too much.
Yeah, people said we shouldn't heap too much expectation on his shoulders. I've always liked the player, and it's always mystified me that he's not had more of a chance. I think it's just injuries that have kept him out, because from what I understand, Arteta likes him too, which is good to hear. But do you think, because of his form, Arsenal can afford not to delve into the transfer market and try and bring in a more experienced number 10? Because there have been lots of players linked with the club. Another Emmy, who is it? The Emmy at Norwich City has been linked, and some other number 10. But would you do that?
I was actually kind of hoping you weren't going to ask me this question. It's a tough one, isn't it? I because, you know, you run the risk of, if you buy a player, he's obviously going to be expecting to start. And I think it's really unfair on Smith Rowe.
Yeah, you can't drop him.
Yeah. But at the same time, if he gets injured.
Yeah, there's no backup.
We're back in the same position. And as well, I think, you know, competition breeds sort of better performances. So, you know, we've talked about this lots, about how certain players in that team, they know they're not going to get dropped, and so they're complacent and they don't put in the performance. You know, Willian is a shining example of this. He thought he's never going to get dropped, so he puts in abject performances. And I thought when he came on actually against West Brom, that was, he actually did a few good things. He wasn't amazing. The game was already won.
Yeah,
and it was quite an easy game for him to come on into. But he did a few half-decent things. He actually had a shot on target.
Wow.
I think that was the first shot on target that man's had in months.
Yeah, more likely.
So I think Arsenal should, just because I don't, you know, I don't think Smith Rowe is the type of player to get complacent because he's young.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he won't be the type of player to get complacent later on in his career, because you look at certain players, and I think, you know, all footballers have similar mentality. So if it was up to me, yeah, I would. If it was up to me, yeah, I would. I would buy.
Did you hear?
Because I think, yeah, obviously, Ozil's going. I think Ozil's going.
He's not going to go in January, though, is he?
Well, no, I don't think he will. I think he, yeah, I don't begrudge him this. I'd love him to go because it frees up a load of money on the wage bill, or even if we just get him out of the club. Because I think there is a toxicity at the club, and I think Luis is part of that. I think Willian is part of that. I think Socrates might be part of that as well.
Mm.
But, you know, because these are players that aren't playing, and I think you just need to get rid of them, you know, because they're not in the squad. But, you know, do I think you'll go? No, I don't think you will. I think maybe Socrates might. I think the club will do very well if they can get rid. If they can shift the deadwood, I think it's unlikely we're going to shift the deadwood. It really is. But I think what's in our favour is Ozil, Mustafi, Socrates and Luis are all out of contract in the summer.
Mm.
That's an easily 500 grand a week off the wage bill. Easily, maybe even 600. I don't know exactly what they're on, but let's say 500 is conservative, and that's four players.
Mm.
So I think, you know,
might be more. I mean,
Kolasinac.
So who's out of contract again? Run it past me again. So we know.
Mustafi, Socrates, Luis, and Ozil.
Well, that's probably 700,000. It's a rough guess, obviously, but
because Ozil's on 350.
Yeah, so the others are on about 100 and something each, from what I can gather.
Maybe 100. Mm. So, yeah, conservative.
I don't think any of them are on less than 100. I don't think so. The figures that we see published, whether they're true is another story, but no one disputes them, so you start thinking perhaps they are true.
Yeah, normally they are.
Yeah. Big shout out to Mister who's entered the live studio. Sorry to interrupt. Just want to shout out to those people that have joined us. But yeah, so you were talking about Deadwood, and just going back to the Norwich guy for a second, I mean, because I haven't really seen him in action too much. Apparently,
no,
40 million they want. But then there's been talk that I don't believe this story, it's in the Daily Star, but the Daily Star said, I just want to ask how you feel about players going the other way. Apparently, according to the Daily Star, Arsenal think that they can offload Willock and Nelson to try to tempt Norwich to do business for this Buendia, this Argentinian playmaker, who's highly rated and has set up about 7 goals this season in the Championship. But he has got Premier League experience. But how would you feel about Willock and Nelson leaving to bring in an unknown quantity from Norwich? Would you?
I have to admit, I wouldn't be over the moon about it.
Yeah, same there.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think I'm not. You know, it's we're getting rid of, say, if you got rid of one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. If you got rid of both of them, I think it's, you know, because remember, both of these players don't take up a space in the squad. Okay?
Yeah, that's it. Ones. That's it. Yeah.
Whereas this one player would. Okay.
And then there's salaries to think of.
Yeah, the salary. Yeah, the salaries as well. Both.
Yeah.
Both Willock and Nelson probably aren't on that much.
Yeah.
And as well, yeah. You know, obviously, Arteta sees them every day. I don't think Arteta rates Nelson particularly because he never plays him.
Yeah.
Willock struggles to get a game. You know, Elneny, Xhaka and Ceballos all there.
Mm.
Ceballos might leave. You know, maybe Elneny will stay. Maybe, obviously, Xhaka will stay. Maybe Willock will think, well, I won't get much game time. I feel bad for Nelson because I think there's a good player in there somewhere. But I wouldn't be happy. I'd rather get rid of some of the players that we don't want than get rid of potential youth for, like you say, an unknown quantity. Because he's done it in the Championship. I know he played a little bit in the Premier League, but 40 million does seem a bit much. So, I have a bad feeling about it. A similar bad feeling I had about the Willian deal. I have an equally bad feeling. I'm not keen. But
yeah.
I think part of it is I don't like getting rid of youth players because they don't take up any space in the squad. And I still believe that those players could come good. Obviously, I know Arteta sees them every day and, you know, he must have an idea about their qualities, etc. But, it doesn't sit well with me getting rid of players, young players like that.
And what about the other bit of news was transfer news about players possibly coming in. I think this guy's been linked with Arsenal before. German international Julian Brandt. He's a Borussia Dortmund and not playing apparently that well. 24 years old, and they want £22.5 million, which is obviously half the price that Norwich want for their Argentinian. Any thoughts about that? Would you welcome that? There's not been any talk about a player going in the opposite direction. Although, no. Yeah.
Again, if he's not playing that well, you have to question. I think with Arsenal, we have to accept that we're not going to make huge signings.
Yeah.
This January window, partly because I don't, we're quite financially sort of strung up by the current players, the current wage bill that we have. We've got a bloated squad already, so it would be nice to sign a 10. I would go down the road of loan deals. Personally, I'd get a loan deal with the possibility of maybe buying later on once we can shift some of the debt wood. But I don't think we should be buying players. Certainly our management sort of structure when it comes to buying players doesn't fill me with confidence.
No.
In the last few years. So I don't think we should be spending big amounts of money this transfer window. I don't think we have big amounts of money to spend this transfer window.
Mm.
But obviously we both agree where we need to buy. I think it is a 10.
Yeah.
Neither of those players particularly excites me. If I'm honest with you, neither of those players particularly excites me.
Yeah, I have to say it's the same. The only thing I like about the Dortmund player is the price is so much better than 40 million.
Yeah.
But the argument is the Argentinian, he's got Premier League experience. Plus, he's already in the UK, so he's got that going for him. I want to say a big shout out to 4E, who's just entered the live studio. Thank you very much to all those people that have joined us. Socrates, I was just looking him up while you were talking about where he could possibly end up. There is talk, The Sun ran a story a couple of days ago saying that Olympiacos would like to bring him in, according to reports, which means it... Actually, no, somebody's put their name to this. Joshua Jones, a reporter called Joshua Jones, says that Socrates is a January transfer target. And then it just gives us all the stuff we know apart from this. It says, however, they may face competition from Turkish outfit Fenerbahce. But that's also news to me. And then it says, Arsenal, we know about the fact that Arsenal are quite eager to get him off the books. He cost £17 million from Dortmund. And I just thought, the Dortmund signing, if we could push Socrates in the opposite direction, that doesn't sound such a bad deal, to bring in a playmaker who is a German international, but then so is Ozil. Surely he can't be that bad, And I'm not saying, my feelings about Socrates. I think he's been a little bit unlucky, to say the least, that he's out in the cold. But we don't know what goes on in the training ground. Perhaps he's a bit dismissive of Arteta. I'm only guessing. I have no idea. But to me, I'm not saying he'd be a mainstay in the team for me, but he's... I don't feel he's let Arsenal down, Socrates. So, and he should. But then, why is no one interested?
Well, I just don't think he's very good.
Yeah,
I think it's more that
he's just sort of average. Suppose.
Exactly. We've got enough average.
Yeah.
We're absolutely saddled with averageness.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's why neither of those signings that you mentioned doesn't sort of it's not like a Thomas Partey or a Gabriel signing.
Yeah,
I think maybe we should keep our sort of our ink dry for this transfer window, so we can, once we free up a bit of cash, in the summer, then we can go get some signings that actually do excite us. It's a crazy league, isn't it? And as well, we don't know what position we're going to end up in. I saw a stat today actually, and it said that no team has won 4 games in the bounce this season.
No way. I can believe it when you look. Yeah, I can believe it, actually. I can really believe it.
We're 9 points, 10 points off the top of the league. Yeah.
It's insane.
We're closer to the top of the league than we are the relegation zone.
Yeah, well, that's that. It's good to hear that.
It's absolutely insane. So I think, you know, if we've got, who have we got? We've got Palace and Newcastle next at home. Can you imagine if we're the first team to win four games in a row? And, you know, Palace at home is certainly a very winnable game. It doesn't mean Arsenal are going to win it. Of course it doesn't.
We all know. Yeah.
What Arsenal are like. But, you know, can you imagine if we win the next two games?
Yeah.
You know, we're in with a shot with Europe. And we've had all of our hard games already. We've played all of the tough teams away from home already.
Yeah. That is, you know, that's very true.
The only team that we haven't is Chelsea away. You know, and Leicester away. But we've done United, we've done City, we've done Liverpool, we've done Spurs, we've done Everton.
Mm.
You know, we've played all of them away from home. So, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? And I'm definitely not counting the chickens because I know it's been a very, very crazy season. But if we win our next two games, you know, that will put us obviously top half, but it put us in contention for Europe. And if even if we got Europa League, that'd be a massive sort of success considering how bad we were, less than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big, massive turnaround. Did you see? So
I think we should keep our. I think we should keep our powder dry, really. I don't think.
Yeah.
We can do a smart deal because remember we've got Partey coming back. We'll have Gabriel coming back. Those players will make a difference, and you know, obviously about Martinelli. I mean, as long as we rotate, you know, hopefully, we get some good results.
Yeah, did you see anything about? I'm trying to find the story now, but I can't seem to find it. I think it was Owen Hargreaves and perhaps Paul Ince. They were quite critical of Smith Rowe. They said he's not all that. I just thought, what planet are these people on? But I just wondered what your thoughts were about that. They said he's not particularly skillful. They said he's got something, but they say he's not. It's not what they'd expect. I'm trying to find the exact quotation from him. You didn't see that at all. I mean, luckily, it's just disappeared.
No, I didn't. No.
It made my blood boil because these were quotations as well. Although what I'm saying is not an exact quotation, so I will look for that just to see if I can find it because it did wind me up. I do want to say big shout out to Mikalep 12000. You know, to me. Names that I do struggle to remember because too many numbers involved there. But talking of numbers, if any of those people out there do want to contribute, but do talk about Arsenal if you do want to drop in as a guest call in, then just go ahead and do it and we'll put you on. And as soon as you stop talking about Arsenal, we'll take you off. But I think that's fair and no one's going to argue. But anyway, what I was going to say, Saliba. Because he's gone now. He's gone to Nice. Oh, wait. Sorry, I found the story. I just want to give this to you. Owen Hargreaves and Paul Ince have doubts. This is the headline. That doesn't mean they said that. Have doubts. It's on tbrfootball.com, theboomroom.com. It says, just to paraphrase most of it, that Smith Rowe's breakthrough into the Arsenal side has coincided with a return to form. We know that. And he's played the last three games. Arsenal, surprise, surprise, won those games. I'm still scrolling down and it says, and now Arsenal are looking for a new number 10. And we go back to Uar and Buendia, who we already talked about, and the guy we spoke about the other time you were with us, Sozo Bazalai or something like that, who's now expected to join Leipzig, as you said, rightly said last time, Alex. But this is what Hargreaves told Premier League Productions. I think Smith Rowe is good. He's smart. He plays quick. He doesn't take too many touches. This is the bit that I find controversial. He knows he's not a skillful flair player. Arteta has found a blend with these young guns to go alongside Alba. So can you agree with that, that Smith Rowe is not a skillful flair player coming from Owen Hargreaves? Nothing against Owen Hargreaves until this quotation, by the way. What? Or do you think there's some truth in it? Is there some truth in it, or is it? I don't think so, but
no, entitled to his opinion.
Yeah.
It's difficult because, you know, he's certainly the goal that he set up against West Brom, you know, that sort of, you know, that around the corner pass to then, you know, run on, get into space, and then pretty much first time play the ball across to Saka. I thought that was pretty skillful.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, the thing with these pundits is, if they don't say anything controversial, then they don't get their name up in lights, do they?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I was a bit surprised, though, in Hargreaves, because I always liked him as a footballer, and as a pundit, he's okay.
Yeah, I did as well.
I did like him. He was just industrious, and yeah, he wasn't, to me, a skillful flair player. But Smith Rowe is more than Hargreaves, certainly more than Hargreaves. But depends who you compare him to. I suppose if you compare him to Ozil, very few players are more skillful than Ozil.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But then we know about the other side of it.
Like, of
course he does, yeah.
Effort,
yeah.
Desire,
yeah.
Which Ozil in the last few years hasn't brought, you know. So,
well, he'd get in my team, Smith Rowe. I mean, I was, even though I've always had my doubts about bringing in the young players, he was one of the few that I thought might be worth a try. But then I say that, but when I saw him play against Dundalk, I thought, and I saw all of that, and I just thought, he's good, but he's playing against Dundalk. You know, and he's not amazing. He wasn't the best player. He wasn't Arsenal's best player. He looked lively, quite good. But I think he just got lucky because of, as you said, it was the illnesses of Willian and David Luiz made a couple of spaces in the team for those players to come in. I'll just give you what Paul Wint said as well before I lose it on my phone. What did he say? What Ince said didn't wind me up so much. He said, I don't think Smith Rowe is quite there yet. It's a learning curve for him. They're getting there. So I thought that's a little more encouraging. But I think...
Yeah, well, I think that's fair as well.
Yeah,
I think the only way he's going to become the finished article is if you give him more game time. And this is what with all youth players. This is why, you know, it's the idea of potential, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I think, I don't think Saka is the finished article, but I think he's a lot further down the line than Smith Rowe is. But the only way people like Martinelli, Saka, and Smith Rowe, Willock, Nelson are going to get better is by consistent game time.
Mm.
And if you can't give them game time, I'd be happy to put out, say, Willock or Nelson on loan just to give them some more game time, maybe. But yeah, maybe is an idea. But yeah, I think that's a fair point for me.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
I think it's not the finished article, nowhere near. But he's the best option that we have at the minute that the club are willing to choose. Yeah, obviously Ozil is a 10. But Ozil doesn't get around anywhere near as much as Smith Rowe. It doesn't defensively offer as much. And he doesn't, I think his attitude is a negative. So I don't think, we have to, we're sort of, Smith Rowe is our only option at 10, really.
He is, yeah.
It feels like.
Yeah, and he just, it looks like he's cutting opposition, the opponents open. That's what it looks like to me. With his quick thinking. And you don't have to do all these silly stepovers. It really irritates me when players do stepovers and they it seems like they're playing to the cameras rather than trying to put the ball in the net. I just can't understand why they've got to do that. I just don't get it at all. I mean, that's one of the things, not particularly Ozil. Ozil's quite, when he has got the ball, not that we're going to ever see that again in an Arsenal shirt, but when he's got the ball, he does play forward most of the time. But, it's that lazy tracking back. I really struggle with that. But when I think about players of the past, I remember I used to get really frustrated with, I used to call him the ice cream cone. What was his name? Alexander Hleb, the one that joined Barcelona and didn't really make it there. He used to frustrate me so much because... When he got the ball, did you ever see that Harry Enfield sketch when his name, he played, they played like this black and white movie and they said, Charlie Charles has the ball, and he had this glue and he stuck it on his foot, and that was Hleb. But he wouldn't do anything with it, just go back and forth and sideways and this way and that. And so, I felt similar frustration with Arsenal until Smith Rowe was in the team. because then you've got two players running straight at the opposition. They don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to defend. How do you defend against guys like Saka and Smith Rowe? They're young guys. You'd think these experienced defenders could deal with them, but they, right now, I'm glad to say they can't. They don't. They just don't know what to do. They don't. They're probably because you know they've got the scouts watching all the games and everything. They probably haven't got enough data on. Well, they should have enough on Saka, but they still can't stop him. With Smith Rowe, they're probably going, what do we do to stop this guy? I mean, if I was a manager of another team, I'd be looking at, you've got to stop Smith Rowe playing. You have to stop him because he is key at the moment. And then suddenly, what about Lacazette? What's going on with him? What's your thoughts on him lately? He's suddenly come to life.
Adapted to the role.
Yeah.
Was that false nine? But I think having pace around him
helps. Yeah.
Having, you know, when you think about, say, Willian, you know, he is fast, but he never gets beyond the lines. He never sort of stretches the defence. And I think, you know, if Lacazette is required to play, it's almost like this false nine, I think Arteta wants him to play. Having young players who are quick and breaking on and sort of, you know, making space for Lacazette, that helps. And I think as well, having a 10 helps Lacazette playing that false nine because he doesn't have to do all the hold up work on his own. You know, he can be, you know, he can get beyond the players every so often. So he doesn't have to stay deep all the time. You know, he can push on if Smith Rowe's nearby. So I think, yeah, I think there's a few reasons why Lacazette has sort of improved, and I think part of it is to do with the personnel that Arteta's brought in. You know, I think that is a factor, really.
Do you think?
Yeah, I'm pleased to see him. And I know you're a big fan of him.
Yeah, I've always been, as you know, from day one.
And yeah, the goals that he scored, you know, he looks like a striker that's on form, and it's always nice to see, really.
And what about Auba? Do you feel he's a bit of an upturn in his performances? Because I'm not sure.
I think against West Brom, he pretty much did everything possible.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those where once he gets one, I think he'll get a few. It's just he just needs that first one to sort of almost break the duck, really. But yeah, like he certainly, and again, I think, you know, the pressure's off him a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, I do feel sorry for Luka as well, because certainly last year, you know, he performed miracles.
He did, yeah.
Getting us into the game's results that we did. And yeah, if you look at his stats over a longer period of time, he's not as prolific as he was last year. Like, he really was next level last year for him. You know, he literally uprooted trees for us. So I think, you know, he has had a bit of a downturn. It's, you know, we can all see that. He hasn't performed as well as we hope this year. But I think, you know, hopefully if he's around these players, it will sort of take the pressure off. And, you know, when the pressure's off, all he needs is one goal. And you know, you hopefully see a bit of an uptake in his, you know, in his sort of results, really, his end product.
Yeah, he needs that goal, really. He was so unlucky, I forget which game, when he had a great shot and it just, he got blocked. Didn't look like it was going to get blocked. And, you know, he's just, yeah, he's been unlucky. Just want to talk about Saliba before I forget, joining Nice. I think I mentioned it earlier, but Did we talk about that and how you felt about that, about him leaving? I think.
Yeah, we've mentioned it before, I think.
Yeah.
I can see the sense in it. I have to question as to why, you know, why didn't he go out on loan at the beginning of the season? Why did he not sort of get put in the Europa League squad at the beginning of the season? Like, we've wasted 6 months of that lad's career. And so you wouldn't begrudge him being a bit annoyed at Arsenal. I think poor management. Clearly, you know, I don't think Arteta rates him as highly as maybe Emery did, because it was obviously an Emery signing.
Yeah, that's what I think, possibly.
You know, and, you know, so for me, I do feel for him.
Yeah, it seems like with
I would have preferred him to go to a championship team. And learn the ropes, stay in England, you know, learn the ropes, get some game time, and then hopefully come back in the summer a bit more prepared. That being said, at least at Nice, he'll play, he'll get some game time, and then we'll see, we'll take it from there, really. I think, honestly, I don't think he has much of a future at Arsenal.
I don't think he's got any future whatsoever. Yeah. And it's just reading between the lines. Obviously, I don't know this. I've barely seen him play. By all accounts, what people saw, but it was only in friendly games, they were quite impressed with him. No one was waxing lyrical about him, but no one was saying this guy we bought a pup. They just thought this is a decent player who's got potential. And then something somewhere's gone wrong, and we do know there's little bits here and there leaked out that obviously there was how can I put this in a polite way, but he's had some personal problems which couldn't be helped. It wasn't his fault. Family issues.
He got sent off twice in the under-23s.
I think
that was probably Arteta's almost like, right, we need to do something with it because he's not ready to play for Arsenal. I do have to question, why didn't they put him in the Europa League squad?
Yeah, same here.
The teams we were playing, he probably would have been carried
a
little bit.
And then he could have built up his confidence.
So this is a manager... this is a manager that played Gunnarsson.
Against Man City.
So it's not like he's afraid of trying it out, but good luck to him. I honestly hope it sort of works out for him.
Yeah,
I do. He'll get his confidence back at Nice, and he'll come back a bit of a better player. And hopefully, maybe he'll get, because that's $30 million on an 18-year-old.
It's a lot. It's a lot of responsibility, and
it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well,
and again, it's Arsenal transfers not filling me with confidence, you know.
Certainly, that player, like you said, was signed during Unai Emery's time at the helm. Just wanted to say something on this, because the Daily Mirror running that story about Saliba moving on, but I find their take on it quite interesting. So I just wanted to who wrote this? Let me just check if there's a name to it. No, this was an old Jake Holden. Anyway, this is what that particular journalist wrote. I'll just read some of it, not all of it. Obviously, he says here, the loan deal was only a temporary one. Well, what loan deal isn't? But anyway, don't get me started on that. Scrolling down a bit more past all the ads. It starts to get interesting. Most loan deals contain a clause that enables a club to sign a player on loan permanently, either during or at the end of the season. The next line is even more interesting. No such clause is included in Saliba's loan contract, meaning if Nice want to sign the defender at the end of the season, then they'll be in the mix with everybody else. I should have done a little scratch on that. They'll be in the mix. That wasn't a very good scratch, but, what could you expect? Anyway, they'll be in the mix with everyone else. And then the fact no clause exists suggests Arteta does believe Saliba has a future at Arsenal. I'm starting to think maybe that journalist is making a decent point. But when I first read it, I thought, that's ridiculous. Doesn't mean that at all. Just means that Nice don't necessarily want to buy him at this stage and don't want to commit to buying him, because guy's not played football for how long? 6 months.
Wow, yeah, but with that clause, they still have the option to buy him, don't they?
Yeah, they could still buy him, but
they're not forced into it.
They're not going to be forced into anything, but they wouldn't be anyway. So to me, quite a lot has been made of that clause, when in reality, it goes back to what you said, which I totally agree with. He should be loaned to a team like Brentford. Yeah, preferably so he could play in the that Mickey Mouse Cup against Spurs and knock him out in the semi-final. That would be really nice. And then imagine the glory he'd get from that, even if he's playing for another team like Chambers. When he went to Fulham, he didn't get that sort of glory, but he was their player of the season. So I'd like to see him at another London club rather than Nice. However, on the flip side, I see it as... He was possibly, I said this way back, I said, I think the guy's homesick. It was just a feeling. I have no reason to really believe it. But the more I've heard, the more I think he is homesick. And so he needed to go back to France for that reason. But then when you get a homesick player, I'm trying to think, there was a player really a long time back in time He played for West Ham. He wasn't a favourite of mine, and you know, I've got no affiliation with West Ham. But there was this West Ham player, and his wife was always getting homesick, so he didn't stay at West Ham very long. So he could, I mean, obviously Saliba's not married as far as I know, so it's not because of that, but it's all to do with family. So I just cannot, I think my prediction is he'll end up in France. I just want to say a big shout out to Declan Feenan, who's entered the live studio. Thanks for joining us. But yeah, what are your thoughts? Do you have any sort of other ideas about where he'll end up? Do you think he'll come back to Arsenal and they'll give him one more try? Do you think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, I imagine so. I think he'll come back, and maybe he'll come back a bit of a better player.
Yeah.
After some play, because obviously he has been injured, and I think that, you know, you have to sort of acknowledge that that has a effect.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, we can only wait and see, really, can't we? I suspect. Yeah, hopefully he's worth the money that we paid, really, and you know, hopefully he can play. You know, it'd be nice to have another centre half, him and Gabriel, and you know, sort of holding and Mari as four good centre halves there.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not happier with Holding's performances of late? Because I remember you said before you never really slammed him, but you said he's been a bit average.
Well, no, I didn't think it was just him. I think his position in the club was that the club was happy for him to go.
Yeah.
And then they realised they ballsed up, and so they basically cancelled his contract to him going to Newcastle. So he got a bit of a reprieve because I think Luis got injured.
Yeah.
And so I think his standing in the club wasn't particularly high. That being said, his performances, and I think he has sort of I don't think Mari's a slouch. His performances have been good, you know, in the last couple games. You know, two clean sheets. You know, he hasn't had much to do against West Brom, granted. Yeah, I was more concerned about the snow cans than the game than West Brom's attack. But, credit where credit's due, he's played well. Do I think he's the answer? No. Do I think he's a decent stopgap? Yeah, I do. Mm. I think he's, there's certainly worse out there. And hopefully, I'd rather him play than Luis.
Yeah. Yeah, even me. And I like David Luis. But, yeah. But Holding, you know what you're going to get. I do like Holding. I've liked him. Again, he's one of those players. I thought he's a proper defender. He's either lucky or he's very good. And I thought the answer is he's very good. You can't be lucky for that long. Because when he plays, Arsenal tend to win. And when he doesn't, they tend to lose. That's how it feels. You know, when he played in that cup final quite a way, he had hardly played any games, do you remember? Not the last cup final, one before that. And he put in a pretty amazing performance. So I've just been nothing but impressed with Holding, really. I mean, when he plays badly, it's not bad. It's not that bad, you know. And it's rare.
He certainly doesn't look like he makes as many mistakes as, say, Luis or something.
No,
like
no.
That, you know.
And he has a certain amount of skill. Yeah. And he knows his limitations. And I think that's what's key. And, I think if players know their limitations, they are more successful sometimes because of it. They play within that, you know. Although every now and then, I remember that run he did. A run, was it against Fulham? He was ball juggling. But I've got a thing here with all the salaries supposedly of the players. It's on the off the Daily Mirror, and Rob Holding's only getting 25 grand. Wow. Smith Rowe's 20. So all the youngsters, they're on peanuts. I mean. I think Saka, didn't Saka sign a new deal? But according to the Mirror, he's on 10. Yeah, so he must be on a lot more than that now. Runarsson, who I want to come back to, 40,000 a week. So he's on the same as Saliba, 40,000, a bit more than Maitland-Niles on 35, according to the Daily Mirror. The Daily Mirror used to be a real Arsenal newspaper. I don't think it is anymore, but was back in the day. So
John Cross, isn't it?
Yeah, John Cross. He's been on the Gunna. He's been on that Gunna podcast, I think, quite a few times. Interestingly, every time I used to go on, he wasn't there. What a shame. I wanted to bump into him because, he seems like a nice guy. So, Runa, I mean, what do you do with Runarsson? Did you hear that after the Man City game? And I think, you know, when I made that prediction, and I know your predictions have been more accurate than mine, because mine have been absolutely 100% incorrect. But with the Man City game, which was the only game I predicted Arsenal would win, if Leno was in goal, because I thought there's no way Arteta's going to play Runarsson against Man City. I just didn't see that, because he didn't play him in the previous round. I mean,
no,
what?
No, he didn't. I was completely shocked.
That I don't like to criticise Arteta, especially at the moment, but what a crazy decision. And then what would you do with this goalkeeper? I mean, to me, looking at the transfer window, this particular transfer window, that was the area that I most wanted to strengthen based on that performance. Because if anything happens to Leno, quite honestly, I even wrote an article, and I know I probably shouldn't have done it, but I was wound up. And I wrote an article saying, look, rather than sticking that guy on the bench, let's just put a cardboard cutout of Leno and just stick that in. Why not? You know, because then you can have 11 outfield players and a cardboard cutout in the goal. I mean, I know I'm being a bit facetious to say the least, but it really, his performance, it was one of the worst I've ever seen. And I've seen him play in the Europa League a couple of times, and he wasn't that bad the first game I saw. I think he was okay. I think that was against Rapid Vienna. I think he was okay in that game. He didn't fill me with confidence, but he wasn't a write-off. No way was he a write-off in that game. So I want to try and find sort of a crumb of comfort, because I know he's ended his Twitter account. I feel very sorry for the guy, actually, because I think he's come in and he's under so much pressure. I just cannot understand why Arteta stuck him in the Man City game. After the Dundalk performance, he was very, very shaky against Dundalk. So can you imagine? Your next game is Man City. What a change.
Yeah.
He must be doing it in training, is all
I can say. I think as well, he's like, you have to question, is he just not good enough?
Yeah, after that.
And, here's someone that's played in like the French league for a few years, and he's got awful statistics, absolutely awful stats. I don't really understand the sort of logic behind, like, really, like, it's as horrible as it sounds, but I don't understand the logic in even buying it. Like, they look, we can all find those stats on the internet. They're awful. Like, he's some of the worst stats in the French league, which is a relatively easy league.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
not physical.
Yeah, that's what sort of worries me, really. The fact that we bought him. Yeah, maybe it was a desperation bomb. I don't begrudge Martinez going. Like, I think, you know, Arteta almost had to let him go because Martinez wanted to play full time.
Mm.
Fine, but with our scouting, getting him, it's shocking.
So, it is shocking, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, I have to admit, I'm a bit concerned. I you're right. I would probably go. I think a goalie is probably of higher importance than a number 10. You know,
yeah. You
could get both, right?
Yeah, they're the two positions. Yeah, because that got. It's only because obviously last season Leno did get injured, and then I have to say I was in the same situation as I would be now. I was screaming, thinking, "There's no way Arsenal can recover from Leno not being there in between the sticks." But when Martinez trotted out to take his place, I don't know. I wasn't full of confidence with Martinez because he'd never. He'd never really let the team down. That's all I'm saying. In the games I'd seen him, I'd always said Martinez is decent. But to me, decent wasn't good enough to replace Leno. You had to be more than decent. And so when I saw Martinez, I never for a moment imagined Arsenal would get to the cup final with Martinez between the sticks. That's the truth. I'm just being honest. Even though I liked him, I thought he's not maybe, you know, he's a good backup keeper, but he's not. The way Arsenal were playing at that time, as I said, I couldn't forget about that Brighton game as well, losing at Brighton in the league. And after that, then Arsenal seemed to go on a reasonably decent run after that. And Martinez played most of those games, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember what game it was when Leno got injured, but
it was Brighton.
Yeah. So I just thought, that's it. Season's over. Season's totally over now. It's not, nothing's going to happen. And Martinez is okay, but he's not Leno. That's all. That's all I had against Martinez. I thought, if you ask me at that time, would I prefer Martinez to stand in or Fabianski? Although Fabianski's, you know, he's got so many caps for Poland. Every time I saw Fabianski, the goal looked absolutely huge. I mean, on one occasion, I sat behind Fabianski. The guy's not small, but the goal looked massive. I've never seen the goal so big, you know, and it's just something about his presence. He just didn't have any presence for me. Like Szczesny, of the two Polish goalkeepers that Arsenal had back in the day, I preferred Szczesny by a country mile. I just thought he had so much more to offer than Fabianski was. He was called, I know people don't want to hear it, but it wasn't me who made up this nickname, Fabianski. But the first game I ever saw Fabianski play was against Barnet. It was a friendly game. And the first thing he did, somebody put a cross in and he flapped at it and he couldn't even punch it. He just went straight through his hands, if I remember rightly. And then obviously he's clocked up quite a lot of games for teams like West Ham and Swansea over the years. So he's got his reputation back if he ever lost it. I think he personally did. But Runarsson, if I'm pronouncing it right, I don't know. But for the first time, I thought this guy might be slightly worse than what Fabianski was. But anyway, I probably shouldn't destroy his confidence anymore. So Runarsson, when I wrote about it, I just said, look, Runarsson, please prove me wrong, because I'd like that to happen, really. But yeah, looking at the rest of the squad and their salaries, so you've got Nketiah, 45 grand, so 5,000 more than Runarsson. Gabriel, get this, Gabriel apparently is on 50,000. Elneny, the same. Chambers, the same. Ceballos, just slightly more. So I guess when they say Ceballos slightly more, they just mean that's how much Arsenal are paying. Suarez, 75. And then you move on to the bigger earners. Tierney, 80,000. We could talk about Tierney in a minute, because who was it talking about him? Did you see Troy Deeney talking about Tierney? Just to break it up a little bit. Did you see what Troy Deeney said about Tierney? I mean, it was the same old, really. He was sort of repeating who was it said it? Martin Keown said it. That Tierney, they keep using the same, all the pundits keep using the same piece of information. They say he's a tough tackler in training. But that's something you can discuss a little bit, though, because being a tough tackler in training, is that a good thing or not necessarily? What do you think?
As long as he doesn't injure the players, it's all right, isn't it? I don't know. I think he's class, Tierney.
Yeah, me too.
He cares. Yeah, I don't think a lot of our players, certainly in the past, have cared as much as he does. I don't think it's much of an issue. Obviously, you don't want to injure the players, but I remember I've coached kids or whatever. We always say to the kids, if you can't do it in training, why do you think you're going to be able to do it in the real game?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, like, you have to treat the training as seriously as you treat the game, really, because you know, that's what training is for. So, you know, I'd be tempted to say it's a bit of a non-issue, really.
Yeah, I'll just give you the quotation. This, where did they get this? It's on the Boot Room again, but I think they stole it from Talk Sport. He said this, Deeney. I've heard he's exactly the same as James Milner. He's the best trainer, the best professional. I've heard from reliable people that he's such a good trainer. He was gutted when he broke down, but he has immersed himself into what Arsenal is all about. So that's Troy Deeney. Not the favourite of Arsenal fans, really, is he, Troy Deeney? But he knows a tough guy when he sees one. Maybe Tierney is a lot tougher than a lot of the other Arsenal players. Because Troy Deeney, I remember him more or less laughing at Xhaka one day when he was sort of laying down, and Troy Deeney was more or less stepping over him and laughing at him. And I found that so embarrassing, that little episode. But yeah, obviously a lot of Arsenal fans not too upset that Watford are not in the top flight right now. So hopefully they'll not come back anytime soon. I haven't looked at the top of the Championship lately, but it's not the time to do that, is it? It's near the end of the season. But yeah, so just looking back at those numbers anyway. So Tierney's on about 80,000, according to this. So these numbers are a lot lower than I was expecting. And that makes you think, you know, the money that Arsenal are paying Ozil seems even more over the top when you bear this in mind. Because I think the last figures I saw were much, much higher. Oh, here we go. I'm just getting back to it. So, right. Oh, there's also talk about Torreira returning to Arsenal. What do you think about that?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously not done very well at Madrid, is he?
Yeah.
Where would he play? Who would have to take? Who would drop out?
Yeah.
Torreira come back.
Where are they going to put him in? How's he going to fit in the squad? It's a hard one. It's really hard to see. Everybody likes him, I think. Everybody. But obviously the manager, not as much as the fans. Tin is on 80. Then you've got Pablo Marie on 85. Mustafi, 90. Martinelli, 90. So 90, that must have been after his new deal. So maybe Saka's new deal has not been included. Socrates, 92. Granit Xhaka, 100,000. Pepe, 100,000. Leno, 100,000. Kolasinac, where's he gone? Schalke. I think he's gone to Schalke.
Yeah.
100,000. David Luiz, 100,000. Bellerin, 110,000. Lacazette, 182,000. Then we get up to the big owners. So, yeah, my figure for William was not this. Mine was much lower. My figure was 110. But according to the Mirror now, and I think I've got the first figure from the Mirror, by the way, 192,000. And... Wow. Partey, 250,000. Alba, 250. And then you've got Ozil. We don't need to mention how much he's getting because everybody knows it. But, yeah, so as you can see, if we could get rid of these players, obviously getting rid of Kolasinac would... What's his situation in terms of his contract? Is he out of contract at the end of the season?
One year after this year?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll be able to sort of... get rid of him, but it's not promising, is it?
Yeah. Oh, somebody's...
Maybe you'll do well at the
time. Somebody's put... somebody's put here, you know, that is incorrect about William. He's closer to 100,000. So somebody, some angry fan, I don't know, obviously who it is, anonymous. Somebody said, is that... I don't think it was 100. It was slightly over 100. That's what I read. But it's funny how it keeps going up and down like a yo-yo.
Over 100.
Yeah, it's over 100, yeah. I'd say 110. But I think there are bonuses and all sorts of other things.
Yeah,
thrown
I think
in.
Bonuses take it up to more. So yeah. I think, you know, obviously some of the bonuses you probably won't receive, but I think the bonuses take it up to more.
Well, this is on a pretty good whack. It's 192. According to the Mirror, as I said, they're not the worst in terms of getting things right, usually. So he's the fourth best played player. Fourth best. It's quite shocking, really. So even to me, and you know, I'm not his biggest detractor by a long stretch. I like him. I don't like him in an Arsenal shirt enough yet. That's the problem I've got.
Yeah, I liked him in Chelsea.
Yeah, and that's where I didn't want to like him, but I had to. So, yeah, so have I missed anything? I think we've covered most of the transfer news, what there is of it. It's mostly players going out rather than in. But for once, no one's really unhappy about that. It's one of those few transfer windows where it's okay. To get rid of dead wood, as you said. And, so I think we've more or less covered everything. So, the next game, though, Newcastle. So we'll just cover that, and then we can head off into the hills. That's what we do. Next game coming up. Who would you pick for it? Because it's an FA Cup game. Bear that in mind. Runarsson in goal or the cardboard cutout of Leno? You take your pick. I know what I'm going for.
I'll have Runarsson in goal. I'll keep Leno.
Yeah. I thought you were choosing the cardboard version. I thought we keep Leno on the bench in case the cardboard, in case it rains and the cardboard sort of disintegrates, then we'll bring him on to replace the cardboard. But yeah, so anyway, so yeah, you'd play Leno, yeah, because we want to win this game, obviously, against Newcastle.
Yeah, I'd I'd rest a few players. Although to be fair, they've had a week off.
Yeah.
They've got two games. They've got I think Newcastle on the Monday or the Tuesday, and then Palace on the Friday. Palace on the Monday, something like that. So, I'd perhaps play Willock. Maybe play Nelson. You know, maybe Uber. I don't know really.
Would you put Pepe back in for this cup game?
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give maybe some of the free plays, maybe give Willian a game. Yeah. Say this is an opportunity for you to play well. but then, yeah, the young players are going to want to play, and I think as well you're going to have to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, so, there's that as well. Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
And you'd be tempted to say, well, after 60 minutes, if we're winning, then you can take them off, sort of thing. So, you know, it'd be interesting to sort of, you know, I'm not sure what team I would play to be honest. I'd wait a few more days. Maybe try Balogun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I think Newcastle, yeah, and we can keep these players, you know, keep your Aubameyang off the bench or whatever, on the bench.
Yeah, in case they're needed and turn things around. So, yeah, so for this lineup, would you play Suarez as right back? Give him a run out, and then
give him a run out.
Give Tierney a rest. Trouble is, who'd you bring in?
I think maybe Tierney. But then again, you know, players they want to play, don't they? This is the thing.
Yeah.
If you rest them, you risk losing the momentum.
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal just started to build up some momentum, so you know. If you get a big result again, because remember, yeah, we'll play against Newcastle. I think we play them. I know we play them twice. I'm not sure if it's consecutive.
Let me check.
Certainly, the temptation is to play a strong team, maybe rest a couple of players, but play a strong team and you know, keep the momentum going. Because for the first time this season, we're starting to play decent football.
Yeah, so, true.
You know. And I think Newcastle don't exactly have a huge squad, so they'll probably play the same players again when we play them. You know, so yeah, I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to play Luis. I wouldn't want to play maybe rotate, but like I said, they've had a week off. So, you know, you'd want to play your strongest team and then see how you get on in the league. Because remember, the FA Cup is still an entry into Europe.
Yeah, we've got to take it seriously, I think so. So you'd probably play Willock, I'm guessing. Maitland-Niles, he deserves a game.
Yeah.
Because he's been...
We play on the Thursday against Palace, I've just got it up now.
Yeah.
We play on the Saturday at Newcastle against Newcastle, Thursday against Palace, and then the Monday again against Newcastle. So they'll have a bit of time to rest.
Yeah.
And then they play the FA Cup round on the following weekend. So,
wait, I think this weekend is Newcastle. So the cup game is on the 10th. Then it's Palace. On the 19th.
On the
9th. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, 10th. Yeah, after the time difference is taken into account. Yeah. 9th. Yeah, yeah. The cup game.
So
it's three.
They've got 5 days.
The three home games in a row. So Newcastle, Palace. So it's like a Palace sandwich or a Newcastle sandwich, a Palace, really. So it's just, it worries me. I don't like it when you play a team twice in a very short period of time. I get all funny about that sort of thing because it doesn't always go the way you expect. I'm making these dire predictions because you know what happens when I make dire predictions, the results go well. So bear that in mind. It's always the alarm bells go off when people start saying eminently winnable games. I think somebody used that phrase when I was looking around the net. Eminently winnable games, Newcastle and Palace. And then after that, a much tougher one against Southampton. So, and then Manchester United, is it? At home. So so Southampton away. So those last two games are going to be really tough. But to me, they're all, sorry to say, but even Palace has been a tough game of late. It shouldn't be, but it often is. And Zaha is not my favourite player by a long way, but he tends to perform quite well against Arsenal, I think, because he's trying to prove a point, say that, yeah, really, I was worth £100 million that he didn't want to spend on me. It's almost like he's trying to prove a point every time he plays against Arsenal. But I'm glad Arsenal didn't sign him, because I said all along, Pepe's a much better bet than Zaha. And then Palace fans absolutely slammed me over this. So I was getting almost like hate mail from Palace fans. Not that I was worried about it, but they said, what are you talking about? Zaha's like, he's world class. And they were coming out all this nonsense. Anyway, and then last season, if you looked at the stats, actually, statistically, not by my reckoning, but by pretty much anybody's reckoning, Pepe more than edged it. You know, overall, over the course of the season, he had better stats than Zaha. This season he's been dire compared to Zaha, I have to be honest. But I still maintain Pepe's a better player. But on the other hand, when I last saw him play, Pepe, I wasn't that impressed. It seemed like something's going on with his attitude. I'm not sure. I hope not. But did you sense that as well? Do you think he's acquired an attitude?
I think we might need... Pepe might be one of those players that we have to sort of call time on, really. I don't think he's developed into the person that we wanted to.
Not really, yeah. Not based on this season.
No. And, you know, how many more seasons do you give him?
Well, he's only been... When did he join? So he's only second season, but and did he join at the beginning of last season or the January transfer window? Because I don't really remember. It was at the beginning, yeah. So last season, I was really happy with him for the most part when he was playing. This season,
I thought he had an alright season. For a breakout season, I thought he was fine.
Yeah,
but then he hasn't.
He hasn't moved on, has he? Yeah. I really want him to succeed.
I think we have to have a massive clear out. The problem is, again, who's going to want to buy him? But I think anyone wants to buy him again, because I don't think he's good enough.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't say he's proved it in the last couple of games. But what I do like about him, he is a nice, cool finisher. And when I forget who did he score a penalty against quite recently? He did score a pen. I don't think it made a lot of difference. Was it Everton? Leeds. But he scored a pen and he was under a bit of pressure and he's quite nonchalant. I like that. I like his bad attitude sometimes. I just don't like it when he doesn't run. And I haven't noticed it a lot, but there's something... When you see Emil Smith-Rowe against Pepe, then you suddenly realise, actually, maybe there was an attitude problem that I was not prepared to admit. But I'm prepared to admit it now because, guys like Smith Rowe proved me wrong. Right, are we going to make any predictions? I better not because, I have to say we'll just leave it there.
Let's not tempt fate.
Yeah, let's not tempt fate then. So until the next time then, we didn't have any callers. You must have scared them away, Alex. They're not scared of me by myself, but you've just got that X factor, that scary side to you that they just go, we can't call up when Alex is there. We heard the way he was ranting about all those Arsenal players. What if he started ranting about callers as well? But you've been so friendly, I would say. Maybe I'm scared too, running scared. But if only you could scare Ozil away and maybe some of the other players and free up a lot of money on the wage bill. But until the next time, we want to say adios, amigos.